Hola amigos, hi ballers. Welcome to another episode of Football with Us, where we are discussing about another champion team that is in Serie A. The Rosarios AC Milan have won it after 11 years with Zlatan Ibrahimovic being there again to do it once more. So happy with them winning, and also Inter Milan, they're doing well. So the Milan rivalry is back, and we'll be talking more. Joining me is Jehan and Nihar. Let's get started with Nihar. What do you make of the win with Zlatan and AC Milan?
Well, AC Milan is back at the end after 11 long years.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty good seeing that, the one of the old giants actually woke up and are pretty much dominating now. I think the new ownership kind of settled the nerves, but the new ownership is going to even influx more money now in the summer. So I think, you can see one of the very big players actually moving to AC Milan, considering they have Champions League football and are defending champions for the Italian league. I'm really happy for them because see, they play them and their two strikers are the old people in Europe, kind of like Ibrahimovic and Giroud, where both of them are instrumental in getting this title victory. And I feel sad for Inter though, because still the last, how to say, I mean, they lost Conte in the summer, they lost Hakimi, they lost
Lukaku.
Lukaku. I mean, the key personnel for last year's title win they lost, but still they held their spirits up and they came close second. I mean, the final, I mean, how to say, the until the final match there, we don't know who the winner was. Eventually, AC Milan, having everything in their own hands, got into a 3-goal advantage in the first half, literally sealed it.
Yes, very much so. Very much so, actually, another league where the championship went right till the last match. And again, very good fight given by Inter Milan after kind of losing their main players and also the coach. That's like taking the what do you say, spine out of the team, and still they gave a good fight. So Jehan, what did you make of it? Do you enjoy the season watching the rivalry between the two?
Yeah, I'm very happy that the both Milan clubs are dominating now. I mean, that was very after, especially Juventus dominating the last decade, and then suddenly, Inter Milan coming out on top at last year, dethroning Juventus finally, and AC Milan were had finished second, I guess, last year, if I'm not wrong. They did finish second. Yep. So
Nihar, you would want to continue? I think because Jehan is having some issues.
Well, I want to talk about Juventus because I don't know why they sacked Pirlo and they got their old manager back, and he pretty much like playing that ultra boring defensive football. I mean, teams moved away from that kind of football won't get to anywhere. I mean, you could even see Atletico Madrid struggling at nowadays because
Good board.
obviously the teams knew how to contain that kind of defensive playing sides. And with Dybala leaving them, and pretty hefty, summer, I mean, winter transfer window they have, like they spend literally a lot of money, but still the performance at the later end of the season is pretty bad. I mean, finishing fourth is cool, but it's not enough. I mean, Juventus are still bigger considering the legacy they had in the last decade under Allegri only. So, but I don't think it's going to be a Milan dominance for some time. AC Milan, to be
Going
sure,
forward.
because Inter might be the close second. And I won't even be surprised if Roma somehow makes their way into the top four next season, because Juventus are going nowhere with Allegri now.
Yeah, but we have seen that, the past history or the legacy of a club at times is does not guarantee you places in the top four or top six as such. You still have to play and grind it out to consistently to stay in the places. And it depends if they're struggling, they would always want to come back as well. And yes, it's a very good point made with Roma, with Jose Mourinho being there and doing well. What do you make of that, Jehan? If you see the Serie A is also very tightly contested with hardly about 10 points of difference, or say 5 points of difference between, say, every 2-3 teams?
Well, to keep that, yeah, I mean, it's becoming more competitive. That's a good thing to see from a neutral perspective. Yeah. But we'll see. Roma needs still some more 2 or 3 good players to compete for the top four, because Juventus still can, even with their stupid defensive dumbass tactics, they can grind out wins against low-key oppositions. Though they are struggling against the top four or traditional top four in the Italian league. Mm-hmm. But I think, see, the point is the way it's set up. I think it's going to be interesting for the next few seasons, with definitely not one team running away with the league, like how last decade we have seen Juventus winning like 9 out of 10, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's all good. I mean, from a neutral perspective, for us to talk about the Serie A, which we never much follow unless the derbies or the big matches, I think it's pretty good for us, actually, to talk about it. And even you can say Lazio, but they are pretty inconsistent again at times. So, it's all Milan teams, man. I mean, both Inter and AC will fight it out again next year, according to me.
Okay. But yeah, just Napoli as well.
What do you think? So, regarding this AC Milan's resurgence?
Oh, I liked it very much. I'm a huge fan of AC Milan, more than Inter. I think Inter, we just liked because Jose won the Champions League with them. But I've always been a red and black fan, thanks to Kaká, Seedorf and all those Gattuso type of players. Right now, also with Zlatan being back and this new generation of players as well in Tonali. And then they're a very exciting team to watch. Probably they can get better. They're relying a lot on experienced duo of Giroud and Ibrahimovic. But they have exciting players in Frank Kessi, there's Sandro Tonali. Tomori has also been good for them. So I'm enjoying this rivalry a lot. I would have liked it if Inter Milan and Juventus also were able to compete more closely. But then I think you can't have it all in a season, right? So I do hope it continues. I do hope AC Milan get back to their glory days. I would like to see them in Champions League as well.
Unfortunately, regarding the Champions League for the Italian team, I really don't think either of these teams will dominate, because they will first like to, you know, have that stable ground in the Italian Premiership rather than going deep in Champions League. But when the Juventus really out of it, I mean, the only team which could have competed was Juventus, and they are pretty much away from it, like way bad now. So I think we won't see any Italian UCL winner for the next 5 years at least, according to me.
Well, you never say never. So always hope for some surprise being thrown at you. We'll hope for that. But yes, as you say, objectively, cannot expect them to go deep, but at least to start seeing them come and compete, or say at least reach quarters, semis would be a good scenario to see.
So let's wind up and go to La Liga.
All right, moving on to La Liga, where Real Madrid, Carlo Ancelotti, the Don, has got them to another title. I think Carlo Ancelotti also one of the most successful managers. He's won it in 4 or 5 different...
All
top 5 leagues he's won it. What a manager, right? Huge respect to him. I think he also gets under... he gets away from the spotlight. It's a little underrated, with Pep and Jose Mourinho always getting the tag of the best managers. But Carlo Ancelotti is right there, isn't he? What do you make of it? Yeah.
Very frankly, I'll tell you, I wouldn't say that. I'm not undermining Real's victory of La Liga here, but I pretty much think other teams gave a very easy way for Real to win it all. I mean, very honestly speaking. Because so Barcelona were going... I mean, yeah, Barcelona were undergoing that, rebuilding process. So they were pretty much out of contention pretty under Ronald Koeman, I think in the first 2 months itself. And the only team which could have held some nerve against Real is Atletico Madrid. Somehow they managed to screw up with so inconsistent performances at the end. And even Sevilla were the ones who were giving a very proper push till January, but then they started drawing. I mean, they were not losing, but they were drawing so many games. So, I mean, see, that's the thing. I mean, see, Real did good. I mean, see, eventually they're having the best attack and having the best defense in the league, I guess. But still, I mean, I'm just as I'm telling, it's not like they are superior. It's just like the other teams gave them an easy pass. So there was no real pressure on Real at any point of time after January. So they could afford to drop the points, couple of points here and there. And with coupled with Benzema's goal scoring abilities and Vinicius' resurgence again out of nowhere. And the obvious ever-present Luka Modric and how to say the settlement of seemingly settlement of David Alaba into the pairing. I think Real got it right. I mean, though they lost Ramos and Varane in the window, I mean, last summer, they got their defensive setup properly right because they were pretty good. They had the best defense in the league. And coming to the second place, Barcelona, as I mentioned, they were pretty much out of contention by November. But they were languishing in ninth when Xavi took over and they got them to second. Well, there is nothing actually celebrating for Barcelona fans over there. But still, I mean, the way the club is trying to conduct the transfer business, I think Barcelona will be a real contender for the next season. And Atletico,
Okay,
though, I
let me
don't have
ask you
much
this.
hope, man.
Overall, do you feel this season was not so good? Are you disappointed a little?
I wouldn't say I was expecting it. It's not like I'm disappointed. I mean, actually, pretty much I'm
You were
expecting it. Once
expecting.
Messi left, I knew that this squad, I mean, see, Messi is the one who used to cover a lot many loopholes. He used to make players better. When he left, the deficiencies of the squad were evident. I mean, just imagine Barcelona could score how many Champions League goals? Two goals, right, in the six games. And when Messi was there with them for the last 15, 16 years, I guess, Barcelona never scored less than 15 goals in the group stages. I mean, just see the drastic difference how they fell. So it's evident they'll struggle. So it's well deservedly they got knocked out of the UCL group stages. And even in league, they were struggling because those important goals, I mean, Messi used to get them 20, 25, 30, 35 goals pretty easily. Like, and their top
Every
scorer this
season,
season
yeah.
is Depay, I assume, with 12 goals, including five penalties in that.
Oh no. No wonder you sound so
But I'm pretty happy
I
because see,
just yeah.
the January window they got four new players with from Ferran Torres, Aubameyang, Adama Traore, and Dani Alves. Well, Adama Traore, I'm not that optimistic by the end of the spell. Initially, I was excited after two, three games, but somehow his magic waned off. But rest of them seem to be very easily fit in, with all of them contributing their bits. And with more, I mean, Xavi made it very clear that there will be a squad cut out. They're planning to sell some highly valued players to other clubs for more money, and they're planning to get other good players back. So I
Correct.
think Barcelona is going, I mean, Laporta is going with Xavi's word here. So, I mean, as long as they believe in your manager, as I mentioned with the Arsenal's case, there will be only progress. There's never going back. So I'm really happy that next season they'll be competing.
Okay. Let's hear from Jehan, the Hala Madrid fan.
Lol, I'm not a Real Madrid fan, but I'm just, yeah, I have
But
always have a soft
in
corner for Real Madrid. Yep, that is there.
yes, correct. That's
Always.
right. So, what did you make of
So,
it, Carlo the
no.
Don winning another?
Yep. They did dominate, of course. They dominated all the big six. And, you know,
Sorry,
but as
but
near.
Jan, sorry, but Real Madrid also had a lot of issues in the beginning of the season, right?
They did, of course.
With
Yes. Yes. You know,
just yeah,
Zidane
good.
going. And Ramos going, Varane, they lost Varane and thought they thought they would have to one of the worst seasons considering seeing their back four at least, you know, when they had problems. You know, Marcelo was not fit, they just had Mendy to back cover up, and Militao had suddenly had to be the top CB because they didn't have a proper CB, and only Nacho Fernandez, you know, covered up, and they didn't have a proper right back apart from Carvajal. Lucas Vazquez is obviously was made to play on the right, but yeah, they did have a lot of problems. Even at the right wing, Gareth Bale was injured most of the season. Eden Hazard again being on the injury list for a long time. So they did have quite a lot of problems. But obviously, King Karim Benzema, of course, and Vinicius Junior. I mean, what an extraordinary season that guy had, and literally, you know, they literally dominated the league, the La Liga goals and the assists. So yeah, I mean, Luka Modric, the one of the best midfielders in the world, and you know, literally dominated the entire team. Yeah, but as Nihar said, I would agree with Nihar that, you know, the other teams made way for Real to reach the top. I mean, Real Madrid capitalized, if you ask me. Like, you know, if they knew Atletico are drawing, or say Sevilla are losing, or Barcelona are losing, so Real Madrid took that opportunity and, you know, started winning games over there. So you know, that gave a very, you know, that gave a lot of confidence to them going into the day. But they were like, they were actually like uncatchable at the top because they were leading at least by match day two, match day three only. And, you know, they were literally in a very different league this season. They just capitalized on the victories. Yeah, they did lose quite a few games. Like they lost against Barcelona, Mallorca and all. Cadiz again, the Minnow teams. But Barcelona was a thumping. I mean, that gave them, like a click. And they got back into the winning mode after that. So that is what Real Madrid is capable of. I mean, yeah, Carlo Ancelotti is getting sacked by Everton, going back to Real Madrid. And, you know, became the first manager to win in the top all five leagues. So, yeah, he literally dominated that. And I'm really happy Real won the 34th. I guess 34th or 35th.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but yeah. And speaking about Barcelona also, I'm happy that they finished. They finished second. But we thought we might not even see them in top four. Considering the start, they had a miserable start to the season. You know, Ronald Koeman not having... players having issues with the coach, the board, and there was a lot going on after Messi's departure. We thought like it was like kind of an end to FC Barcelona's prime, and no, but they literally fought back and, you know, started winning games when Xavi came in, and, you know, they had a pretty good run of having 10, 12, 13 wins in a row. They won some games and they were unbeaten for a very long time, and they got back on track. You know, they started beating teams. They beat Atletico Madrid convincingly. They beat Real Madrid convincingly. They started, you know, dominating that thing again. But yeah, got inconsistent at times. But they finished as runners-up again in La Liga, you know, just proves that they are still, you know, they're giving answers and warning bells to Real that they will be fighting for sure from next season onwards. So yeah, a good ending for Barcelona as well. But I'm shocked by Atletico Madrid, to be honest. I mean,
yes.
Defending champions, I mean, they only love to do that. I mean, they got Griezmann back again at home, and they had this hold of Morata to Juventus. So no, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, Griezmann is having his worst ever seasons, I guess, in the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, pretty much off. I mean, they had very inconsistency for Atletico. Not much to fight for. They were never in the competition, according to me.
Okay. I want to pick on that a little more with... So let's hear from Nihar. Why is Atletico Madrid struggling? Why couldn't they dominate or, you know, capitalize on the opportunities here when the top two were having so many problems?
See, I mean, Suarez became even older, and even your Felix is like literally not consistent, and Griezmann is being injured for more than 6 months. That didn't really help them in terms of scoring. So that crazy form that Llorente had while locking out Liverpool ended there itself. He never scored many after that. I think it all comes down to, you know, even the defensive prowess. I mean, they conceded 43 goals. I don't think any time Atletico conceded more than 35 till date. This is the first time, you know, Oblak is shaky. Okay. Even the defense is getting old. I mean, they didn't replace Godin properly. So it's like the new additions which they got to replace the old ones didn't click, and the existing players who are supposed to be the core and important didn't really have that great form at any point. So I'm actually telling you, they played so shit the whole season, but still they managed to get a decent third place. I mean, see, that's what you get when you have a big club, right? I mean, like how Juventus are like still so shit, but ended up at fourth in Italian league. Same way Atletico played shit throughout the season, but still ended in third. I mean, see, individual movements from so-called big players got them points. As simple as that.
Okay. So what do you think can be done for, say, Atletico, Sevilla, and say others for them to start challenging at least a lot more? What do you think would take for them? Because
Sevilla are pretty doing pretty well, I guess.
Good players that will do. And replace Suarez, and that would do.
Yep.
Okay, just to rebuild?
Rebuild is too strong of a word for Atletico here. Just have a decent transfer window where sell those players whom you don't want. So Suarez is leaving, and sell 2-3 old players who you don't use much. So get exciting young talent with whom you can work on. Have a proper preseason. I think that will sort them out. They can actually contend for the top two.
Find replacements for Saul Niguez. He's not going to come back, I guess. Or maybe come back and will be sold again.
Okay.
Yeah. And they just need to tick a few boxes. I guess that will be done for them. It is not a rebuild, as Nihar said it.
Okay. Let's see, because La Liga teams have always been good in, say, even Sevilla or Villarreal have been good in, say, the Champions League. If not Champions, at least the Europa League, they've been very consistent. Let's see, let's hope for more competition out there as well. It will be good for La Liga and in Champions League, that is global football too. Coming to some of the relegation battle, if you see, I see Cadiz has survived. They are a good team to look out for, right? They're pretty new. They just recently come in. Any thoughts on that?
Yep. They beat Barcelona. They beat Real Madrid.
They beat Barcelona three times in the last 2 years.
Yes, and that too at Camp Nou. That was a miserable thing.
No, but Cadiz, I think, seems like a nice small, not small.
Yeah, it's a very small team, but you know they give their all. You know they are very technical team. I have seen them playing against the big teams. You know they don't really allow goals to flow in against the big teams. The big teams, you know, fail to struggle to capitalize and score goals. Like you expect Real and Barca to score 5, 5, 6, 6 goals against such teams, but it doesn't happen that way.
Okay. You see, they've allowed 51 goals and the score
kind of Burnley. They're kind of a Burnley kind of a team.
A better version, at least, I hope.
Better version, as of now, yes.
Yes. Okay. And
well, Lokesh, the most notable point is the Granada playing Europa League last season and get relegated this season speaks of volume, if you ask me.
Nothing worked for them.
The manager changed, some VAR bad calls against them. I mean, the players losing key players at key moments throughout the season. Nothing really worked for them at the end. They got relegated.
Well, literally, man, that is seriously. I mean, they were in the round of 16 in the Europa League and getting thumped again. I mean, ridiculous. They were in the top 8 and they played the quarterfinals against Manchester United last year and again, you know, getting hammered then and now, and they're now relegated to the Spanish League Division 2. So, that is something to be taken, as we are said. That is the irony. That same happened with Espanyol, I guess, when they had got relegated. They were playing Europa League the very same season and then getting relegated the same season.
Okay. And, all right. Interesting tips and points put across. Coming to the Golden Boot winner, what do you make of?
There was no competition, absolute no competition. I guess you can't take off. I mean, it was if Messi was there, obviously there would have been a big fight for that. But apart from that, I guess there was absolutely no competition. There was no seconds to it. Vinicius Junior was the nearest. Yeah, he would have won it for sure. But yeah, you never know still. There would have been a tough competition for sure. But as said, you know, apart when he left, there was no competition. Vinicius was the nearest to Benzema. That was the only thing I can say.
No, there's this person, Iago Aspas.
Vinicius, but again, he's in the wrong team. He's in the absolute
Napoli,
wrong
is it?
Team. But yeah, again, the same. No, Celta Vigo.
Celta Vigo, sorry. Okay.
Napoli is in Serie A.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was just looking at different
again, tables, yeah. He's in the wrong team, but again, I guess the emotional part of it is his hometown and all. So, I guess, like, but yeah, he's doing pretty well. Yeah, Gospa's very underrated player and always.
Wasn't he scouted by City?
City, I have no idea about that. I haven't heard about that.
But all right. Let's get back to Karim, the dream.
You know, Lokesh, you want to know how Iago Aspas is, like how Zaha is to United, how he sometimes, every time he scores against you, right?
Yeah.
Aspas scores against Barcelona each and every time he plays against us. Somehow he scores. I don't know how.
Okay. Seems like everyone have
one kryptonite.
Thorn. Yes. Yeah. One thorn in their wrong side, you know, who always haunts you as such. So Iago Aspas is that for Barcelona. Well, let's see. It's been nice seeing Karim Benzema do so well. He was under the shadows of Ronaldo a lot, and now I think it's like such a treat to watch him play and the kind of goals he scores, the way he gets his team members also into play is like, you know, very good. Really happy for him. Hope that he would be able to get another Champions League medal. So let's see. I think that covers it up for La Liga. And now I think we want to move on to which one would you say? Bundesliga? League One?
Yep. Bundesliga.
Bundesliga. All right. Bayern Munich winning it again. Can we close it at that?
Yeah, done.
No, but no. Okay, apart from jokes, Bayern Munich again dominating in their league, taking another victory. What do you make of it? The competition.
I would honestly say, apart from these wins, they are winning. I guess they won 8th or 9th in a row, I guess. So apart from that, yes. what I'm thinking over here, it is Lewandowski winning for Bayern Munich, not Bayern winning Bayern like that.
Okay. Yeah, and if you see, they just finished on 77 points with Dortmund being
they
second.
Did, yeah, they slipped up. They slipped up quite a few times this year. They lost some pathetic games. They played some miserable football. They were not the typical Bayern we saw. And even in the Champions League we saw, they were not the same Bayern Munich, which they were in 2020. So, yeah, they are going to have a real, real tough time, you know, when we are hearing rumors about Lewandowski leaving Bayern Munich. So it was all about Lewandowski helping the team win the titles, you know, 40 goals every season and consistently scoring bangers and, you know, providing winners. But yeah, I guess it's going to be a very, very, some kind of a big, big, big shoes to fill in. But because Lewandowski has won Bayern Munich 8 titles so far.
Yeah, actually, and there's no other teams that you could say will compete or, you know, be able to do something next season. Apart from
Dortmund are closer. Well. No, but I don't understand the team's logic for me. Because they get players for cheap, they scout them well, they sell them for a high price and that's it. They're done. They're doing that kind of some shady business. But I don't understand that logic and they are winning nothing. They got Aubameyang for cheap. They sold him for a lot of money. They bought Dembele and all for cheap. They again sold him for a very huge amount of money. Even for Sancho. The same
It actually did make sense. Say initially, say when you were trying to be financially stable, but I think they are pretty good now. They don't have to do this anymore, right? Why don't they change their business model or try to go after winning the titles more?
If they are having these kind of players, if they are rebuilding them, I don't understand why do they sell them off for that good amount.
Exactly,
of
right? And yeah. Not only in the league, the players that they scout are good enough for Dortmund to be a champion.
Next goes with Jude Bellingham, who's the next star now. Again, they said that next season he will be staying, but apart from that, Manchester City are scouting him. So, you know, you never know. By Jan or something could leave. So again,
it
that
seems
could be
like
a
their targets or focus is on, like, you know, keeping players and increasing their value in 1 year, 2 years, selling them for the next 80 million or 150 million as such. It just doesn't make sense. And they did pretty well when Klopp was there. And
let me tell you, take out the Champions League revenue, take only the domestic revenue. I think they earn more than Bayern at the end. I think that made them like, okay, let's go after it. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, after Klopp, I really don't think they had, they didn't really back any manager to that level. Tuchel was there. And they were good managers they had, but still they never actually backed any of them. And even now they sat the present guy, Marco Rose, right?
Marco Rose, yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Shocking.
The news was so sudden that no one knew about it. And it's not even expecting, all were expecting PSG to sack Pochettino or something like that. Definitely not this. I mean, it came out of nowhere. I was so genuinely shocked.
So I think, it is actually, now if I think, it was shocking at that time. But now if I think, they are surely going for some kind of a rebuild thing. Erling Haaland gone, Marco Rose gone. Now I think Lukas Piszczek is gone. Played his last game for Dortmund. You know, these kind of thing. They will now try and sell off the Redwood, the Axel Witsel, parting ways with Dortmund. So, yeah, they are going for a rebuild, I guess. I mean, sacking their coach. They'll get a new tactical coach, maybe a good set of bunch of players, as they always do. And then, you know, try and put pressure on Bayern. They will obviously put a lot of pressure on Bayern now, considering knowing that Lewandowski might leave them.
But, Gian, I don't think Leipzig will actually pound Dortmund next season. I think Leipzig are more well, settled and in that position.
Settled,
to state
yes.
Terms.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they are more stable, how to say. I mean, they're ever improving. I mean, ever since this season, they were disastrous. They were in relegation zone initially. They got back. They won the TFB Pokal yesterday, a couple of days ago, and now they won. I mean, they are in fourth, I guess. They have qualified for UCL yet again. So, I mean, the way they
beat
recovery was
whom?
Pretty impressive.
They beat whom?
Come again?
They beat whom to the DFB Pokal?
They won it with 10 men, I guess. I mean, they were like one
oh,
man
wow,
down.
That's
still, they managed to win it. I think it was played between Freiburg or someone, I guess, who screwed Bayern en route to the final.
Yeah, Freiburg versus Leipzig. Leipzig won on penalties.
Yes.
But that's the thing with all these teams, right? Like, even if I can recollect the teams that have come from the German league, say, Mönchengladbach, I've heard a couple of times. There was Hoffenheim.
Even Wolfsburg.
Wolfsburg were there. I think, but none of them are even like, you know, consistent there, nor in Champions League, say at least group stages, they come and lose out, nor are they
doing
good in
Europa League. They come
in
Champions League, they get relegated, you know, Schalke, you remember Schalke, what
yes.
they were dominating in champion, top four, suddenly they get relegated. And now, you know, we've heard that they won the Bundesliga Division 2 and they are back in the Bundesliga again. But that's speaking of that, you're saying correct. Like Gladbach, if they are in Champions League one season, next season they are fighting for relegation. So yeah, that consistency is not there. Freiburg were relegated.
So Lokesh, listen, we'll get back. We'll go back to Ligue 1 now, considering we have a time limit here.
Okay. All right, yeah, go ahead with this thing. I don't know much.
So I guess we'll go to the last top fifth league as Ligue 1. And speaking of which, it is only Paris Saint-Germain and their royal money. Nothing more to speak about that because no, they can literally buy all the 19 other teams.
Lokesh, I'll tell you. I think Paris Saint-Germain won the league with no particular philosophy or a formation. I mean, the best suited formation for them and the manager, they implemented it in the match day 37. Imagine, I mean, all the games they won, it's due to Mbappe's brilliance or this guy's or that guy, Neymar's or name it. Then never in one game they actually felt like they were dominating the tie, except for the relegation teams. So it's pretty much straightforward that
no
the rebuild was needed. And the first important thing is they got hold of Mbappe now. And they're getting, they're sacking, what is his name? I forgot.
Leonardo
from Brazil.
Leonardo, yeah.
Sacking
yeah. He's gone. He's
and
gone.
They are
he's
getting
gone.
The guy who built the two teams that defeated Paris in the last 10 years. Luis Campos, who was a part of Monaco's unit back then, and he was a part of Lille's unit last year. Now they are getting him as sporting director. So I do think there, at least in Bundesliga, there is a hope that someone will stop Bayern at some point. But coming to the league, even I really don't think no one can stop PSG for the next 5-6 years, at least.
Yeah, so easily. Not with this kind of a team for sure. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, happy with Monaco and yeah, I mean, you know where they were 8th, 9th, speaking. But again, they are fighting back for the Champions League spot, and they are into Champions League qualifications. What do you think? I mean, they have go a long way. They beat PSG.
They come a long way and they screwed in the last minute. I guess in the last minute of the last match, they conceded and they are into playoffs now.
Yeah, but yeah, well, nonetheless, a very good season for them. I mean, what they were.
Well, Monaco were like a bit of how to say,
just
a small version of Dortmund, I guess. Sell the talents whenever they get some, but not as not as frequent as Dortmund. But
Ben Yedder saved
them. On top, coming to the top.
Ben Yedder saved them many times. Ben Yedder. It was all Ben Yedder this season.
Ben Yedder, nice striker. I do like him, but I still don't understand why are they fighting so much for one player. Mbappe to be there with them just to win the Champions League or build a team around that.
It's more than that, Lokesh. I mean, see, it's about a statement like they can screw Real Madrid here. I mean, Real Madrid, we all know, is having the biggest pull. Now it's really a statement. I mean, then Real was screwed with no Haaland and with no, how to say, Mbappe. Both of these players went to the oil clubs. So,
yeah, but again, here also, there's no point of. They're making a point. Sorry, there's no thing as such that they're making a point that they have a pull as good as Real Madrid, because we all know anyone who goes to PSG is basically, say, attracted to more wages. Second, if they're there, it's very hard for them to leave unless the club wants you out. We have seen cases with Verratti And say even Neymar, now Mbappe also, they can't leave unless the club wants are done with them. Like, you know, now the
so
club
Lokesh,
wants to sell
consider one
Neymar.
More thing, right?
Yeah.
See, league title is guaranteed. Cup titles are almost guaranteed. And they, then see, actually PSG have a very good spot to compete in UCL, but, well, they don't have the manager to guide them through. I mean, a guy like Zidane would have worked wonders with them, but that didn't happen. The sporting project is there. I mean, see, UCL is the biggest honor for any club and they have it as their main priority. So the sporting project is actually clicked. I mean, it's a very good, attractive thing, but as you mentioned, again, the name and fame, you won't be getting much. I mean, see, Mbappe should have won a Ballon d'Or by now had he had left PSG a long while ago, but that didn't happen. And yeah, so I think, see, the most important point here is, like, see, even the president of France called Mbappe several times to tell him to stay in France. I think it's more like, see, France are the favorites to lift the World Cup. And PSG want their star player, their face of the club to be a part of, you know, World Cup, which is going to be held in Qatar. Their link, and also France wants their star boy to be in playing in France for the club. But anyway, it's not, see, if you consider one more thing, it's not a very lengthy contract. It's only 3 years contract. It's not a traditional 5 years. Generally, you get a 4 or 5, right?
True.
So three, because see, if he signs two this next window, again, it will be like PSG will be forced to sell. So if he signs three, maybe PSG can have a brief of space next year. They can sit down. They can see what went wrong. In case if Mbappe wants to leave, they can sell him off next year itself. At a very good amount. I mean, Mbappe will enter his prime, so again, a 150 or 200 million bid will have to come to get him away. And so let's see, I mean, I think Mbappe will score against shitload of goals. So, I mean, PSG will win. So, Ligue 1, it's not really worth getting deep into. There is, I mean, even the sporting project will actually be deepened now with, how to say, Luis Campos arriving. I mean, everything will be pretty good. So, yeah, okay, let's conclude here, right? The time is getting up.
Okay. So, on that note, seems like Mbappe will win PSG another medal next season as well, with no fight or any competition. So, but we hope things change. It's not good for world football and all its fans as well. And signing off on that note from the three ballers here to all the ballers across the world. Thank you for listening to us. Stay tuned. We'll be coming up with more soon. Cheers.